people are out hiking or left, or they're just sick of my randomness. But either way, we're doing what we're doing. Today is a little scary topic for some, if they know I was talking about moment of blessing. Because that's about, sometimes in the community in Tacoma, they say, what are you doing today? I say, oh, I'm following death. And that's because I go to all of these moment of blessings. And they're all places. The whole point is the place, not the person. Even though we recognize the person who was killed, or persons, it's a reclamation of the space where it happened. So that God, you know, from our perspective doing these, reclaims it as a safe place again. And if you're in any kind of multicultural place, by the way, just especially where Sal Shan is on the east side of Tacoma, and it's a housing, federal housing project, development, and we've been there since 1985. A lot of the Southeast Asians, there's a lot of culture there that if you don't reclaim the place and basically exorcise the demons, they can't live there anymore. They don't feel safe going back into a house where somebody was murdered, or any of those kind of things. So I will show a short clip so that you can actually see how the media pictured us, and it's actually a wonderful minute, if it's even that long. And I would encourage you to see what you see there and hear what you hear, especially because the moment of blessing, and I use the two Psalms, Psalm 23, that's in the moment, and by the way, I have about 40 of them, so if somebody really wants one, this is what we use, and we adjust it sometimes. We've had almost 300 since 1999, I guess, and including at POU, that was one of our largest ones, when Dr. James Holloway, the incredibly loved music teacher, was shot randomly because he came out of East Vault, and this guy who was in love with one of the opera teachers, she wasn't even there, he was determined to do damage, and he did, and he killed him. And we had a moment of blessing on campus where we invited the student body and profs to add prayers, and they did. It was just gorgeous. And did it right where James fell and died. And there were students, of course, there that saw it. Because it was during the day. It wasn't nighttime slinky. And I say that because some of you know what POU is. A lot of people appear from POU. Years later, I did it at the Synod Convention. I bring these polls where we have the names of everybody who's been killed. Now there's like 300 of them. There's about six polls. And did it as a meditation for the Synod Assembly. And I had students crying from that time. They still remembered it. It changes your notion of grief, how we grieve loss in our communities. And so hopefully some of that will come through. Two Psalms. It's almost like, what would you say about Psalm 23? Everybody knows it, right? You don't know Psalm 23? No? Mm-hmm. Or do I have the wrong Psalm? Was it Psalm 23?
Right. Do you know what?
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. And it's sandwiched with, at the very end, the Lord. It's a sandwich song. And in between, just so you can read it in the Bible, or we can recite it in a minute. The first person singular is used, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And then it gets to the magic. Piece that I noticed in these moment of blessings with people who never went to church, who were not Christian, and they got it, and they responded to it, which was weird. And it's the thou part. If you read the King James, of course, it still says thou art. And if you use uses the contemporary language, it's simply you. And I would suggest that psalm has incredible implications for community, and I use it as a street liturgy. That's what this moment of blessing thing is. Originally, we just had a prayer. We have a little acknowledging who got killed. Psalm 23, the Beatitudes. Now, what a ridiculous thing to read to people who just lost a brother, a cousin, a father, mother, kid, whatever. And you read them Psalm, Matthew 5. Isn't that a kind of a, who even understands Matthew 5? Someone here might. I've never understood it. But I like it. It's an alternative to the world you and I basically support, which has very little to do with what those Beatitudes are. And yet they're blessings. And with the only thing we added over the years, Dave Alger, by the way, is the man. He was the Associated Ministries director. He retired now, and there's a new one from Minnesota, Chris Morton. And we added the Litany of Deliverance. And I always felt that was a capitulation to my Eastern Orthodoxy. Litanies are not always popular with people. But when we read it later, you can see what you think. And the response from the community that's there, if there is someone there, is save us, O God. After each line of the prayer. So it's a... Some people think, oh, it must be depressing going to all those. It was just the opposite. It was more depressing to go to church on Sunday. We never got immediate about things. We talk about down the road, or but this, you don't talk about that. You're right there. The blood often is right there still, right? We're not talking about, you know, when we're going to get a new carpet or whatever the heck we talk about in church these days. Okay. Everybody with me on? Yeah.
Oh, how long after the event do you do these generally?
That's a good question. Very good question. Over the years, what we did, we often had it quite immediate, but we waited now because we learned we were inappropriate doing them before, say, the burial. And so we usually wait, if we can, till they bury the person or persons. I have one in here I'll show you. The father killed all five of his kids in a mobile home complex and then went to Auburn and killed himself. A lot of them now are, they do the killing, and then they actually take their own life. More than I've ever seen. I don't know what that is. I just think the suicide of the shooter often. And then a lot of domestic violence. So what? How that all happened, that's a good question. I'll just say this. A tragic event 10 years ago is called the Tran Dai Massacre. It was the worst thing that ever happened in the city of Tacoma. And it was in a cafe on July 4th, like 2 in the morning or something, and right next to Lincoln High School, if you happen to be in Tacoma. Lincoln is the multicultural school. And two blocks away, and most of them Eastsiders from our community. The mother of the shooters were there, everything. It was Cambodians mainly, and shot up a lot of Vietnamese. They don't get along, as you may know, like the Swedes and the Norwegians. I don't think you all shot each other.
Not for a while.
You should talk about the people from the Far East not being willing to go back into their home after there's been violence in the home. Mm-hmm. Now, I sit here and start thinking about my own thoughts, and I would think other people in this room would say, man, if I knew someone had been done in that house, would I buy that house or rent it, or would I be very uncomfortable if I knew this is something bad that happened in that house?
Right.
And I think all of us here, if we had to face that issue, might have troubles with it.
Yeah. Actually, there's been some articles on that recently because of the number of violent things that have been occurring. Can you sell your house after somebody did a murder in your house?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very real. It's not just limited to Southeast Asians. That happened to be the community I work with. So the Tran Dai Massacre was July 4th, and these bunch of guys, after their whatever they did, got in their cars, usually Hondus, the hoods in the back in the alley.
Tacoma's broken up into alleys and then main streets. And went into this cafe and just started shooting. And they killed five, for sure. Two brothers who were getting ready to go to college. I remember them clearly. And wounded another five or something like that. The city went into an uproar, right? The first thing the city manager and the mayor and everybody wanted to do immediately, this goes to your question, immediately wanted to have a community meeting at Lincoln High School. Big one. And they actually scheduled it. I get a call about 6 in the morning from a Vietnamese public nurse who was our friend, Lin Nguyen. And she said, Pastor Ron, I said, what? She said, this is not good. I said, what's not good? Having this public meeting. Because what they wanted to do is what Americans tend to want to do. How are we going to solve this problem? You know? So she said this. She changed my way of thinking about a lot of things. She's Christian. And she was a true friend. Is a true friend. She said, Pastor Ron, it's not appropriate for our culture. I said, what's not appropriate? To have this kind of meeting and all before we bury our dead. Let us bury our dead, have a little grief to enter in, before all you people start solving our problem. And she considered it their problem. So I went immediately to the group that kind of stages it called Safe Streets, on and on, quote unquote. I wouldn't consider them that. But anyway, Safe Streets. And I go to Priscilla Lisicich. She's a friend, and I know her. And I sit down with her, and I said, you know, Lin Nguyen told me this is not appropriate to do this. At first, she resisted. And then I went on for about an hour. I am merciless when it comes to that. Because I knew Lin Nguyen was right. I didn't know. I didn't know a thing about Vietnamese at that point. She broke down and cried finally. This is stupid, isn't it? I said, yes. And she called the police chief. She called the city manager, who was a Filipino guy, by the way. And didn't cancel the meeting, but used it as a way to acknowledge the horrible loss to our community from both sides. Because the Cambodian groups would really suffer through that. I mean, this was real. And it got worse once they put them in jail. They didn't put the killers in jail because when they were to be arrested, they went down to the dock. You know, we have a port there where the lawyer was, or at least something there. And the actual shooter, his brother, the women and their kids, they were young, but they had them. And he saw the police come, pulled out his gun, shot his half-brother, and then shot himself. Committed suicide. They had a letter that they had left, of which the shooter said to the whole community, tell our kids not to join the gangs and be part of this. And he says, the next time around, maybe we'll do better. Now, that should tell you something. This is not Christians. This is Buddhists. And almost all the Cambodians in Tacoma are Buddhists, except for the groups Nancy and I worked with. They were fun. And then I went to all the funerals. And that's how I personally, just so you know, I don't speak Vietnamese. I can't even understand a word of Cambodian. And you can't even read their language. It's so weird. And yet, what you do is, if you just go and be present, it's amazing what is communicated. And that began a journey for me personally, and Nancy, to realize you don't have to know all the language. You don't have to know all the dots and the diddles. But it was the Tran Dai Massacre. And really, shortly after, and then they asked me to do a blessing. And someone had given me a ceramic, Lutheran guy, ceramic fish, salmon, and it had a hole in it, you could put water in it, and I went to the actual space, and we did a blessing using what they would understand very clearly is the fish, both cultures, and long long story to answer your question. So we wait. Sometimes we wait too long and then it's too late. Other times they, if we didn't notice it, they'll call and say, could we have a moment of blessing? Yeah. And that happens everywhere. Like a teacher was shot and killed at, what is it, Bernie? One of those little elementary schools. Special ed, she was just loved. All the media was there, you know, they come for those. Most of the 300, they don't bother with them. They're too regular. The other person I was hoping to be here, but she went hiking. Stacy, who's on the board. I want her to, I won't tell her a little story. She's in Chicago, and she asked about this. And I will say this. She said, do you know the only day we didn't have a shooting and a death in Chicago last year? So I said something like Christmas. And she said, no. What did you say, Nancy?
It was the day that President Obama was elected.
There was no shootings. And again, I don't put that as an answer. I just look at it as, wow. Given, by the way, I would suggest going to Heidi's class. She's got some interesting brain theory stuff. And the moral will. Do you have the will not to shoot and kill? Why do they? How do we hold you accountable for doing it? You know, when you got that Swede out of the way. Or are you Norwegian? Okay. Any more questions on that? I'll show that in a minute. And that'll kind of bring out what this thing really is. No? Okay. I wonder, this is more a relationship to Heidi's thing on the brain. And she, I went to it, and she had 10 things, and very smart. But I liked where she might go today. I'm going to use a little thing. Anybody know West Side Story? Nancy did a production on Mercer Island when she was, after she met me. No, it had nothing to do with me. She was already doing the theater. And it's over 50 years old. I got to see one of the original versions because I was in New York. My sister made me go. She said, you'll love this, Ronnie. I said, okay. And I did. I fell in love with it. And when you think about gangs, you had Sharks and Jets. You know, those lousy Puerto Ricans. I hated Puerto Ricans, by the way. Anybody? And sometimes I bring it up in a community meeting, there's a Puerto Rican sitting there. And I know that. And I know I'm going to be offensive, but I say, I'm telling you, I'm a kid. We hated the Puerto Ricans. They didn't speak English. They were greasy looking. They were short. And you didn't know if they were making fun of you when you walked by. That's true, by the way, by some of the cultural groups, like Cambodians, Vietnamese, when they want to keep what they're saying hidden. Okay, West Side Story, 50 plus years old. It was revived. They had a whole New York section, and they actually spoke and sang in Spanish for I am pretty, da, da, da. You know, they did it in Spanish. Okay, to Seattle just 2 years ago, used West Side Story and developed a whole program to fight gang, to help people understand how these gangs operate. This song, Officer Krupke, I would read the whole thing or I would have played it. I almost brought it up. I said, oh, I'll never get to what I'm supposed to do. So I will only read one piece at the beginning and then all the solutions that were used for these kids, remember? And it's Officer Krupke, and he calls them punks, and they're at the candy store someplace. And this has to do with the brain stuff. Dear kindly Sergeant Krupke, you gotta understand, it's just our bringing up key that gets us out of hand. Our mothers are all junkies, our fathers are all drunks. Golly Moses, naturally we're punks. And then all of them join in with this riff. Gee, Officer Krupke, we're very upset. We never had the love that every child ought to get. We ain't no delinquents. We're misunderstood. Deep down inside, this is a clue. Deep down inside, the worst of us is good. And then they go on with their wonderful. litany of going to all the things that people think will save them. The court, get a job, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And then here's how it ends. This is horrible, actually, but I think it's almost too true. Aaron, one of the guys, as the social worker. Eek, Officer Krumke, you done it again. This boy don't need a job. He needs a year in the pen. That's the kids I work with. And they usually get a year. It ain't just a question of misunderstood. Deep down inside him, he's no good. Ooh, has that traveled? And then all of them sing. Riff says, I'm no good. Well, we're no good, we're no good, we're no earthly good, like the best of us is no damn good. I don't know who wrote that thing. I don't remember the authors of what's that story. But I think for 50 years now, and I used to go to school, and one of the reasons I quit college on and on is this stuff is crap. This is bullshit. You know, you're not addressing, and they do delinquent things like, where are you? Where do you live? And that's kind of where I'm coming from today. Where do you live? Well, did you notice my icon?
East Side.
What does it say?
East Side of Tacoma.
East Side of Tacoma.
Is that the zip code?
And what's in the middle?
98404.
98404, zip code. By the way, if you want to know anything today, you better know zip code. They don't give a damn about your name. Zip code. And you can find the richest zip codes, the poorest, everything is broken up. The army, military, that's almost all they use, not just a simple one like this. So when they're gonna bomb you with one of those drone things, you better know the right zip code, or you're gonna blow up the wrong person.
Right,
no, sure, that's never happened.
No.
I
say this because on the east side of Tacoma, 98404, that's the only area I actually served well. And it was, according to the kids, the social service agencies, DSHS, the schools.
Deep down inside, we are bad. They're all bad.
And then today, with all that money that's supposed to save education and all, that's kind of what all the schools on the east side are almost like that. Half of them can't speak English, of course, but that doesn't matter. You got to keep those math scores up, the English up, and da 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 da.
It's all about the law school.
I want to bring that up because, yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say something, Nancy. Because then, for the Christian, what I did is I took Jody Kretzmann and John Kretzmann, and some of you know them personally. They've been here for years. I've mentioned them before. The Green Book is still in the bookstore. You can get it. Building community from the inside out. I don't like the Green Book, but it's better than no book. And it has the first 20 or 40 pages are the original that Kretzmann and all used to push around. And it's to see Officer Krupke, to see that first definition of the kids. You know, even the worst of us is good. That's what asset-based community development finally breaks down. Because if I just look at you with your gang shirt and your this, your that, or older people doing whatever they do, that gives them, you get a hint that you just ain't earthly good. So we use this for 24 years. I started this after 9/11. And Nancy and I went back to Brooklyn, New York, because we have a lot of good friends still there. But no family, just good friends, 60-year-old friends, if you can believe that, when we're in little kindergarten. And I wanted something from Brooklyn. You can't get anything in Brooklyn. It's always New York. I love New York. No. New York. But Brooklyn, New York? So I walked into this funny little woman's store that sold all this trinket stuff in Brooklyn. And she had a shirt, and it said 11209. That's my zip code. And it said Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. I brought it home, and I thought, you know, this is great. It's an icon. You look into it, it draws you in. And so I started printing them. Okay, and I remember I gave I'd only give it to people like principal of the local schools, and they were just amazed. And then when I went to speak at a school, which I did a lot of, believe it or not, I do everything from Tweety Bird to Santa Claus. But I would always have the shirt, and I'd say, 98404, what kind of community is it? And then they'd all yell, yay, the media is saying, down, down, down. And so that was the battle to this day. Give them to the mayor, whoever's in power. And that's that power, by the way, that I was talking about yesterday, for those who are here. Kratos is power by might. It's power by strength. So if you have the strength to coerce often those lowly ones, to be obedient, to comply, most bureaucracies are built upon that. And if you don't, you get what? Punished. And again, Heidi's session deals with some of that. So, I say all of that before we actually just look at the psalm. Let's read Psalm 23. In unison, or if somebody actually knows it by heart. Some people actually know it. Do you know it?
Collectively, we all know it.
Yeah, why don't you start? And then you can add
well,
it.
Yeah.
Whatever version.
Yeah,
right. Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be alone.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in bright paths for his name's sake. Now here's the switch. Even
though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and my staff, they comfort me.
Wait, let's just end there. That's the huge. I've watched people viscerally move when they hear the switch from I, or third person, to thou. And the gratefulness of people for coming to where someone loved one is, thank God somebody is with me. And I'm a Christian, so I don't make any, you know, they know that when we're there. And in the contemporary language, even though I walk through the darkest valley, and I would suggest if you start to figure out what valleys are dark for you, for your friends, for your family. It could be someone dying from, it's going to take a while before you actually check out. And, it's powerful. It's just powerful. And then the last verses, I like it because it has to do with food. And so I say that because the Hebrew never would separate the material stuff from the spiritual. We have done it. Like the icon, they don't separate in that particular. They're the food and the spirit, and everything is included because you can't separate it. Martin Luther never lost track of that, right? You remember, anybody ever read his catechism? No, you don't read it. You should. Remember the prayer, the Lord's Prayer? Give us our daily bread. And then he says, what does it mean? Anybody? Yes, you do. Okay. Everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, yard, fields, cattle, money, possessions, a devout spouse, a devout children, devout employees, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline. Woo, Luther's a nut. Home, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and other things like these. You see, in the Lutheran tradition even, we've lost it.
Oh, give us our daily bread. Like, this is the most boring.
You should be lucky you're praying that. Well, not you.
Some people should be left out.
No, the whole point is what? We're all welcome. That's the beauty to me of the icon of the table and the Eucharist, of course. Okay. And then just behind all of this, the question often comes in those moment of blessings and so forth is, what did I write? Can anybody read it?
Where did you hear God?
Where is your God? Psalm 42. Where is your God? You know, in light of things that are taking place around us or with us.
Okay.
And we won't answer that way. Anybody subscribe to God Pause? Mm-hmm. It's Luther Seminary's daily little reflection. I recommend it, by the way. Not because they're all great, they're not. But they will have people from the youngest graduates to the oldest. And you just get on and subscribe, and they'll send you one of these little emails. This one in particular is Jennifer Bell and her husband are both pastors at Edgewood or Mountain View Lutheran Church. I'm right outside of Puyallup, if anybody knows that area. It says, where do you turn today for guidance in living your life? Facebook? The Weather Channel? Magazine subscriptions? And so she goes on, to say what we need to do in Psalm 25, 1-10, is, of course, go to who? God. And trust that you will be answered. This one is from Jennifer Quambeck, who is at her and her husband. Our community recently experienced two tragedies on the same day. A 15-year-old killed by a suspected drunk driver as she was walking home from church. And a father, and also he was a husband, murdered at home during a robbery, of which happened because he on, what is that, selling eBay or something? Yeah, and he actually, the woman who called about this diamond ring, he told her where they lived. They tell you never do that. Watch yourself. But anyway, that's what they did. The three of them came, and they started to beat up on his 14-year-old son, and the father just got so crazy. He went to save his son, and the guy shot him. Okay. Murdered at home during robbery, just a mile away from the church building, as the community of faith gathered to worship the following Sunday. The words of this hymn gave language to sing our prayers for healing, for the wholeness, and for peace. In all our grief, she mentions. And then out of that, we had a moment of blessing for both those families. And they were there. And I always love it when the clergy come, because they don't always come. In fact, you wonder what the clergy do. We don't want to get on that. I'm retired. I can't get hurt by any of your sending my bishops nasty letters. The moment of blessing, I brought this little book. I actually have the president's executive secretary just a couple of years ago had to do one of those service things. You know, you take a course and you got to have 20 hours of helping something or doing something. And she's the executive secretary. She didn't have time to go forget the president and go do something. So she said, Pastor Ron, do you have anything? I said, yeah, what we have is we need a catalog of all these moment of blessings. Well, professional that she is. By the way, she's now the executive administrator for PLU. She's top. And she not only cataloged them, she had them all written up. Newspaper articles that she could still get, if, you know, how you get those from the archives. Called one day in tears. Because it's hard to cry over somebody who gets killed. Well, that's too bad for you. At least it ain't me. She cried. The number of people, she realized. And the different ages and ethnic groups and reasons. She just realized that kind of violence is all through our nation, of course. To say nothing of the world. And I know Ron does some of those sessions with Palestinians and the, that's tough stuff, you know, even if they're just throwing rocks. And so I just bring that out, and I'm going to show the moment now and ask you to do what my wonderful poet friend, Mary Oliver, and a lot of you, some of you know Mary Oliver?
Yeah.
They did the first session. This must be a different group. Anyway, Mary Oliver, poet. She's from out east. She's must be about 70. PLU students invited her to speak at their whatever the heck they do. And in your room, sometimes you'll see a line from her. What do you do with your
one wild and precious life?
I like that. Your one wild and precious life. Now, we either can go secure it, and by the way, Shakespeare said, that's the disease of man. It's a killer. It's always looking for the security that will keep you sort of moving around, being useless. And I only say that because she came, very frail, beautiful, young, old woman. And she spoke at a class, and I asked her where she got the term, pay attention. It's actually through a lot of her poems. So I just took one verse, and I brought it here, and I'll just begin with, before we show that. Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Now, in the Orthodox tradition, I didn't even know it was there until Nancy and I went to Portland to an Orthodox church. And I'll do that with wisdom later, because that's how they face the scripture. They don't just read it like we do. They face the iconostasis, the picture of all the saints, and the priest says, wisdom, and the associate says, Nancy?
Be attentive.
Be attentive. Or,
let us attend.
And they do that for all the three scriptures. You see? And so that's different. Pay attention to what? Well, not about what you're going to eat in an hour. Well, Orthodox may be 3 hours. But, so that's what I'm asking. Pay attention, which is really Simone Weil. I guess I've been saying it wrong for years. I always said wheel because it's W-E-I-L. Either way. And then be astonished. I think one of the things up here has been just astonished. Astonishing people's gifts, of course. But just the earth, the rocks, Larry. Even little slivers of rocks. When you used to show those slides, I was just amazed. Look at the colors. And he said, oh, all it is light being refracted into. I said, oh, my God. And didn't you have urine slides like that? Yeah, see, he's a good potter. He's going to hopefully be here Friday. He'd show these slides of urine. And they're beautiful. Something wrong, huh? With Larry, of course. I'm only kidding, you all. Could we show this now?
You need to pull your screen.
Pants up.
Pull the pants up on the screen now.
I thought I was failing again. You don't want any of those malfunctions. Is it on? Well, we had it on. Oh, thank you.
I want to
tease people to sit. Do I might not be able to turn it
on? Tommy brought it with a filter.
So I'm asking you to pay attention in a little different way. Pick out who you want to see is in there, who says what, besides the reporter. Should I play?
You're like Jan. You don't point it at the screen. You point it at the machine that's working.
Oh. Thank you, Howard.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, it should be able to read all of
them.
Jan does this all the time.
What is
wireless
anyway?
Point it at the screen. Begins right now.
In Pierce County, a solemn ceremony at the site where a Renton man was gunned down earlier this month. Our 7 Eyewitness News reporter Michelle Millman joins us live from Milton with that story. Michelle.
Good afternoon, Julie. It was a small gathering, but a touching one nonetheless. Those who love Tino Petrocelli came together to reclaim this area as a place of life and hope.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death.
I fear no evil, for you are with me.
9-year-old Nick Petroselli reads scripture at the very location where his older brother was gunned down only 2 weeks ago, and it is the place that today was reclaimed by loved ones, friends, and Milton community members who did not even know Tino Petroselli.
And so we come together in this place that was taken from us by violence and death. We now reclaim as a place of life and community and hope.
The 28-year-old Petroselli was shot to death after a fight at a tavern on Milton Way spilled out into the street and into a nearby parking lot. Petroselli's father was called last night by Reverend David Alger, who invited him to take part in this reclaiming ceremony.
And as we sprinkle this water, come Spirit and redeem this space and this people from the violence and the death that has occurred here.
Dino Petroselli describes his loss as a nightmare from which he cannot wake up. He tells me the arrest of a suspected killer eases some of the pain, and this event helps a little as well.
Every holiday, every Sunday, we always got together every Sunday and pasta dinner.
The next time we have, like, anybody over at our house, someone's not going to be there, and that's going to be Tino.
Tino Petroselli's suspected killer is at the Pierce County Jail this noon. The 23-year-old Federal Way man is charged with second-degree murder. Reporting live in Milton, Michelle Millman, Cover 7 Eyewitness News.
All right, Michelle, thank you.
Did you notice anything? I mean, there was they actually recorded scripture. And who was reading it? The little boy. What did the father do?
Cried. Kissed his head. Kissed his head.
Kissed his head. Now, that may not seem important to anybody. Oof. Now, remember, he's Catholic. So they kind of have a whole different thing about some of this. So, what else did you see? Or hear?
I saw dispassionate reporters with a very passionate group of people doing the ceremony, but the reporting was bland.
The reporting was bland?
Yes, non-involved, distant.
Cold.
Yeah, cold.
Of course, that's what they see part of their job as, mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, but that's that collision hit me hard.
Yeah, that's interesting. Others?
It's what I didn't see.
Oh.
I did not see a woman figure in the family. There was no mother, there was no sister, there was no wife. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Good observation. Now, in the numbers that I've been to these moments, it would have been just the opposite. Often the mothers and the nieces and all that, they all come. Depending on which, you know, situation. But this one was different.
Yeah.
And I don't know, frankly, to tell you the truth, if the wife is, there's actually a large age difference between the brother that's read and then the actual killed brother. Yes?
The water, physicality of the touch of the water that he used.
Yeah, and I'll give you this. That's what we do at the end. It's called the water thing. And I have a bowl. I was going to bring all that, but I didn't. And the bowl, and we pour the water, regular water, right? Just either tap or bottled. And then I bring out, and I always say this to them, because some church people have been wounded by the church resent that holiness stuff that you bring. Like, this water is holy. I tell them, no, it's from Safeway. It's really just plain old bottled water. And I say, well, we'll make it holy is when we put our hands over it and say words of blessing. Then they change. I did this in Arizona when I was doing a friend of mine. He does
trainings for urban leaders, and there happened to be a killing in a gas station. And then he decided we'd do a moment of blessing. I said, fine, let's go do it. And again, we were waiting. There was a lot of people there. And they brought the water, and I said, well, this is the water, and it's not holy, but it will be. And so it's that language which brings the material with the spiritual. It's very powerful for people. But if you've been brought up in a church where you better only have holy water, and if you don't have the right holy water, you're not part of it. So then we bless it and did it. After that particular moment of blessing in Arizona, Phoenix, she came up to me, this young woman. She said, thank you. I said, yeah, well, you're welcome. And she said, well, thank you for making the water what it was. It was water. It's kind of one of God's creations. I mean, that's given to us. And so it was a really reminder to me that I say it almost, if I'm doing it, if I'm the one in charge, we always say something over the water. And then always sprinkle. And the one I read where the father was killed in the house, this woman, that's a beautiful home, wanted us to be in the house and have all the rooms blessed at the same time. And the water. And it was very important to her that this be done for her and her family and the little community that gathered around them. Okay.
Ron,
anything else? Yeah, Larry.
The news people were dispassionate, but I was really pleased that they were showing that event. I think that says something about the ethics of the news people to an extent. That was really great. Mm-hmm. They would come and show scripture and show clergy.
Yeah, often the media will come to the high-profile ones. This is this picture in the front. And I didn't put this together. This is somebody in Associated Ministries. And they got me up here with all the ribbons. Because I bring this to the universities and teach them how the community faces this kind of stuff. A little different than what we're doing, but still there. Was our police chief a few years ago. What's his name, Nancy?
Chief Yatlin. Oh, I'm not stopping you thinking of David Brain.
David Brain. Born and raised on the east side of Tacoma, 98404. Father and mother still live there. His wife was
Crystal
Brain. Judson. But later, after the incident, the parents brought it back to Crystal Judson. He had two kids. He went to Gig Harbor, which is really a nice place, across the Narrows Bridge. And he met her at a little strip mall, got out of his car, went over there, she got out, and he shot and killed her in front of the kids. Then he shot and killed himself. This is the police chief, Sunday school teacher, conservative evangelical. I went to the funeral because I support him. I knew him when he was just a goof. In fact, Nancy and I know a lot of the police, good and bad. So. But there were no police officers at his funeral. You see, it was so despicable a thing to do. And I won't go into all the reasons why, because I don't know. But this part I do know. He was going to be exposed, not as the nice, smiling, intelligent, orderly, by his wife, who wanted a divorce. And then it gets real ugly later. And it actually went on for a few years, the accusations, da-da-da-da-da. So that moment of blessing was, of course, attended by many, many in the community. And one woman who spoke up, because it was domestic violence, was from our mission. I showed the picture the other day of our community, and it was, I call her the laughing Christ. There's not much to laugh about. But at our party, she was laughing. She's right in the center. She's kind of an icon for me of how you, even in loss and domestic violence, and she got up at that particular moment and spoke succinctly, just to not forget the women and what often happens in our society. And so that this, I'll just show it because it happens to be in here. I wouldn't have chosen this one. But father kills five kids near Graham. And I usually go an hour or two ahead. I check out the place, check out the kids, see, you know, what do they live with? Okay. Imagine that, five, kill your own kids. Because he killed himself, but we won't go into why. It's just, I feared him, mother says. And I was going to that Kroptos. Kroptos, when you have power over people, and he thought he did because he felt she was going to be cheating on him going out with another man. So a way to get his way was to kill all the kids. I just bring that out as a horrible illustration of what happened. Okay. It's not going to cheer you up much, but... Oh, we got a couple of minutes. Could I have just a couple of people up here, and we'll just read through this kind of as a way just to hear what we do. Anybody? You guys like to read?
Oh, glasses help.
Put it on the sidewalk.
And normally we ask people to participate. What I really like it is we don't have the lead guy do everything. In fact, if you would like to use the, do the opening and the prayer.
Okay.
Would you read the scripture?
Sure.
Okay. Often I do the time sharing where I ask people to take time. What would you like to say? And it's amazing things you're going to come up with. But it depends who's there. And then the litany. Anybody? Want to do the litany?
Oh.
Later.
Well, okay. Flip-flop.
And then the water ritual is very powerful. And you know, we're water people. We love it. Get a bowl, stick the water in, you get a little sprinkle thingy. And it's usually a lot, you know, something we picked off somebody's land. So there's the water. Okay. So why don't we begin?
Right.
And you can put in a name that you want.
Oh, I see.
Start with grace.
Okay.
Grace and peace
to all of you in the name of our loving God. We come together in this place and at this time in grief, acknowledging the tragic loss of all the children of the world dying of hunger, confessing that this tragedy is in part failure to create a safe community that is humane, compassionate, and just. Let us pray. We ask that God may grant us grace, that in our pain and loss we may find comfort, that in our confusion we may find a measure of understanding, that in our anger we may find forgiveness, that in our sorrow we may find hope, that in death we may find new life.
Amen. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures.
The Lord leads me beside still waters.
The Lord restores my soul.
The Lord guides me in right paths.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff give me courage.
Blessed are the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn,
for they shall be comforted.
Blessed are the meek,
for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
for they shall be satisfied.
Blessed are the merciful,
for they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are the poor, pure in heart,
for they shall see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers,
for they shall be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We often have a time of sharing, which I'll just, I appreciate you chose all the children of the world. Blue deaths can't do moment of blessings everywhere. But just so you know, it's done in Africa now. My friend brought this to Guatemala. Very powerfully done among the local indigenous people. Okay. Litany.
Right.
Litany of deliverance from the brutality of murder and violence.
You could all say it too. Save us, O God.
Save us, O God.
From the hardship of poverty and loss.
Save us, O God.
From the corruption of sin and darkness.
Save us, O God.
From the terror of gunshots and stabbings.
Save us, O God.
From the bitterness of homelessness and empty pockets.
Save us, O God.
From the snare of mental illness and all discrimination.
Save us, O God.
From the silence of apathy and neglect.
Save us, O God.
From the deserts of ignorance and suffering.
Save us, O God.
From the arrogance of racism and greed.
Save us, O God.
From the burden of grief and despair.
Save us, O God.
And from all evil.
Save us, O God.
And from all evil.
Save us, O God.
And from all evil.
Save us, O God.
Amen.
Amen. There's a time where we could have a psalm. And only occasionally, and mainly among the African American, there's often really spirited folks there. And they'll just start with Amazing Grace or something. And it's just beautiful that they offer that as their gift at these moments. And then the reclaiming ritual, the actual ritual. And I think as Lutherans, if you're not a Lutheran, but Catholic or whatever, just so you know something, Professor Selle, after the media left, Father and the son were the only ones left, and myself. He went over to the concrete where his son's blood was still, and he bent down and kneeled. And what do you think he did?
He
kissed the ground. And I've always brought that out in Genesis 1, or wherever Cain and Abel, you know, Cain kills Abel, and when you hear your brother's blood voice cry out, I'll tell you, you don't have to see it to be moved by that. Okay, so the ritual is this. The water, this is holy water, so we know it's not holy. So, and then we'd have a bowl and actually go around the area if possible. Not everybody wants you to do this, but we've had places where they bring us right into the bathroom of the restaurant where the killing took place. This is a Spanish one. Because they wanted that blessed right in there. So that's what we do. And then we do that as whoever is doing it, and it's always people who are there and ask them to pick. I'll just read. We come together this day to reclaim the space of death as a place of life. This place where violence occurred, we're reclaiming as a place of life. This place that causes us fear, anger, and pain, we are reclaiming as a place of hope and community. And we do the sprinkle. Come, Holy Spirit, to this place. And as we sprinkle this water, come, Spirit, redeem this space and people from the violence and death that has occurred. Return it as a safe place, place of community, place of life, place of hope. You want to read the next part?
That which was taken from us by violence and death, we reclaim as a place of life, community, and hope. We pledge to work towards a world free from violence and full of love and hope. We commit ourselves to building a community that is humane, compassionate, and just.
And Rob, you want to do the benediction?
Beloved of God, go from this place in love. Go from this place in peace. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Love one another as God loves you. As this is home to many of us, it is also home to God. God blesses both this space and us. Let us go in peace.
Thanks be to God. You can say it.
Thanks be to God.
And then we just close with this. Kind of get out there and do something. You want to read that?
Okay. Our service is ended. As you leave this place, take with you our prayer that each of us might act in some way to prevent the further loss of life due to homicide.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. And then people, if they stick around, then they talk and so on. Thank you much. So this is available to you. It's not copyright or anything. You can change it. You can write your own litany to fit your context. Anybody have had murders or homicides in your community? Yeah, you.
Well, I'm the parking ticket.
You're in Parkland?
I am.
We haven't had a lot in Parkland. You're from Parkland?
I am.
That's too bad. No. I always just describe Parkland because we've been there 30 years. A place where there's no parks.
Yeah. That's right. Have you been asked to look for suicides?
You know, that's interesting. We do it for suicide, but the media doesn't report suicide most of the time.
Right.
But David Brandy did, you know, if it's a high profile. But yeah, we've done them with suicides.
Because, I mean, some of the violence.
If we know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know.
Was one of these done for where the four police officers were shot?
Oh, yeah. That was a big one.
Yeah.
Were you part of it?
Yeah, the four. Well, we've had others since, by the way. I hate to say that. Yeah, that was a horrible tragedy. The danger with the police one was they had 19,000 people come to the Tacoma Dome. And they had the Mounties from Canada. And so what happens is it's different than if you got killed. You ain't going to have 10,000 people that come. So, but we honored that and we did it that way. And the police chiefs that are there now, yeah. We've not done Moment of Blessings for soldiers, because no one's ever asked us. The News Tribune, by the way, is committed to list every single military that dies that goes to Fort Lewis or McCord. And you know, that's like 30,000 people living there. It's their own city. So they have services and they always show the boots and the guns and
always have a letter written by that individual's commanding officer read at the memorial service.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You read the paper. Mm-hmm. We have subscribed to the mouthpiece of the Tacoma paper called the Olympia.
So that's it for today. I hope other people will use it. I'll give it to Stacy when she comes back. There's 40 of them, so if you need it, take one. People get shy about doing it. Just find somebody that's willing to at least organize a little bit. You get it done.
Thank you.
Yeah.